This podcast is sponsored by Alt Legal. Alt Legal, easy to use IP docketing with powerful automation, deadline calculation, and reporting. Hello and welcome to the Alt Trademarks podcast. I'm your host, Hannah Samendinger. On this episode, I was joined by Andrea Evans, the owner of the law firm of Andrea Hentz Evans, a practice focused on intellectual property. Andrea has been practicing at this firm for over 9 years. Before starting her own practice, she worked as a trademark attorney and patent examiner for the USPTO. You can find out more about Andrea's practice at evansiplaw.com. You can also find out more about Alt Legal on Twitter at altlegalhq and at altlegal.com. Thank you for joining us and enjoy. Hi, Andrea. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
To get started, could you tell me just a little bit about your current practice?
Sure. So I am the owner of the law firm of Andrea Hentz Evans, and we provide patent, trademark, and copyright legal services. I'm based in the Washington, D.C. area, but I'm sure you know that it's a federal practice, so I actually represent clients all over the world with different intellectual property issues.
And backtracking just a little bit to go over how you got to where you are today, you went straight from undergrad to law school, correct?
Yes, I did.
And what made you decide to do that? Was it always the plan to become an attorney?
Well, I have a very unique story. So I come from a family of scientists and engineers, but I knew as early as third grade that I wanted to actually be a judge based off of the People's Court with Judge Wapner. So because I came from a family of scientists and engineers, I was put into a lot of hands-on classes and summer math camps and different things. So I excelled in STEM classes, but I knew that I wanted to be a lawyer, but because so many people in my family were scientists and engineers, I was kind of pushed into studying engineering in college. And so I was able to get a full scholarship from NASA to attend Spelman and Georgia Tech, where I obtained a math degree from Spelman and civil and environmental engineering degree from Georgia Tech. So my plans didn't change, but I figured if I wanted to be a lawyer, the best place to go would be Washington, D.C. So I applied to George Washington Law School and ultimately attended and graduated from GW Law School, which actually has one of the best intellectual property programs. So not knowing that I would need my engineering degree to be a patent attorney, I'm a patent attorney now. So everything just sort of fell into place.
So I assume you found that your math and civil engineering background have helped you in your IP practice.
Definitely. So you have to have an engineering degree to be a patent attorney. So I'm very fortunate because I was able to work at the patent office after law school as a patent examiner for 3 years at the patent and trademark office, and then 2 years as a trademark examining attorney at the patent and trademark office. And so that is actually what makes my practice unique, is that having that experience and the educational experience at GW and the work experience at the patent office really helps me to foresee issues that my clients would overlook. And it really gives me that extra expertise to be able to cut costs by avoiding different issues.
I'd love to hear a little bit more about your time working as a patent examiner and as a trademark attorney. Were there things to you that stuck out about that experience, certain lessons that you found really invaluable?
Well, what I enjoyed the most about the experience working as both a patent examiner and a trademark examining attorney is that the work I would say in terms of the output was very predictable, in that I actually liked working on the quota system that a lot of people don't like. So I knew what was expected of me, and I could either meet those expectations or exceed those expectations. So what I mean by that is when you work as a patent examiner and a trademark examining attorney, every 2 weeks, when I worked there at least, every 2 weeks we were required to examine a certain number of applications. And so I liked that because I knew how to prepare, and I guess that's the engineer in me that you know, everything's kind of methodical, and I like that, you know, to not have anything that would surprise me or shock me. But what I love about what I do now, though, is that I'm a people person. So what I didn't like about working there was that there wasn't a lot of interaction with the applicants and with the inventor. And what I mean by that is, of course, they could come in for an interview, or they could maybe, you know, call in with questions and things like that. But I really feel like when you're on the outside looking in, you really are an extension of your client's team. And so it really is really rewarding with what I'm doing now. But I actually had a very positive experience at the patent office and really enjoyed my time there. And I left definitely on a high note, and I'm sure we'll talk about how I started my law firm soon, so.
Definitely. One last question about your work at that office. Do you think now that you're on the other side, do you find that IP attorneys have any misconceptions about how examiners and trademark attorneys work?
Oh, I know they do, because often people, if you haven't worked there, they don't understand the demands that are put on the examiners. But what I find is that a lot of patent lawyers and IP lawyers in general don't take advantage of communicating with the examiners or the examining attorneys. And so it's a lot of back and forth in writing. And so sometimes, and this can happen in real life too, where you can write something and you think you're saying one thing, but when someone reads it, it's interpreted a different way. And
Sure.
so I felt like working there, the best thing for me was when an applicant would call or an inventor would call to explain, "Hey, I know I have the word circle here, but this is what I really mean." And then it's sort of that meeting of the minds. And so I think that if you don't know that you have these different options and opportunities, and they have all these different programs that you can sign up for, pilot programs. If you're not familiar with that, I think you may be doing your client a disservice, actually.
And so then, after your time at that office, you started your solo practice, and I assume that that knowledge really helped you in starting that practice.
Yes, it did. And I never really set out to start a law firm. So what happened was, like I said, I really enjoyed my time at the patent office. I was moving up the ranks. I actually formed a legal society at the patent office for all the lawyers for the agency, and things were really going great. But because I worked there, when my peers would call and ask for help, I couldn't help them because of the conflict. And so I'd refer them out to one of my mentors, and by the end of the year, he called and thanked me for all those referrals and mentioned that I had referred over six figures of business to him. So naturally, not even making those six figures at the patent office, it sort of made me think that, hey, maybe I'm doing the wrong thing, because these were just people who knew that I worked in this industry. And I've always been really good at networking and following up and keeping in touch with people. And so people would always joke with me that, hey, you never met a stranger, but it's paid off, because that's really what has helped my firm to thrive is my network. And so once he told me that I referred over six figures to him, I consulted with my family, and my husband agreed that, hey, go ahead and try to start a firm. So I literally put in my 2 weeks' notice from that day, and I launched my law firm, and that was 9 years ago.
Wow. And so since then, have you found that there are certain things that you particularly love about being on your own, things that you don't like so much?
Oh, I love it. It's not going to be too much that you hear me complain about. So, definitely being an entrepreneur is my passion. Like, I really am very happy. It's very fulfilling in that, like I said, I am an extension of my client's team. And because the process of filing for a patent application, for instance, is so long, I feel like I really get a chance to know my clients and work with them. And to be honest, there are several that I haven't met, but what I pride myself in about having my own law firm is that having all this good experience, being able to go to the number one engineering school for civil engineering, being able to go to the top school for intellectual property for law, and then having that experience working at the actual patent and trademark office, really, if I worked for a firm, my clients couldn't afford me. And so what I pride myself in the most is basically being able to provide high quality work, efficiency, and most importantly, affordable rates, because it's my personal goal to help all small businesses and all entrepreneurs and basically let them know that I'm a resource for them.
And one of the ways I've seen you do that is you're very active on social media and not necessarily just the usual channels. For example, I think you're one of the first IP attorneys I've seen that discusses legal issues on Periscope. So can you describe how you use social media to engage with clients and potential clients across all these platforms?
Sure. So I really didn't set out to use social media as a tool necessarily to market my firm. But I do think that, you know, obviously it has helped to get my name out there. And secondarily, I've been able to obtain clients or retain clients from using social media. But I feel like, just like all entrepreneurs, we should be taking advantage of basically wanting to get our name out there at a small price. And watching the Kathy Lee and Hoda show years ago, they were talking about Twitter and how it was the new craze and Twitter had just started. And so I decided to sign up, and I have to tell you that I was a little disappointed at first because I've always been that person that was sort of popular, like thousands of people on Facebook and knowing thousands of people. So when I got on and sent my first tweet and, like, no one saw it or I didn't have any followers, I'm like, okay, what is this? But I really grew to love it. And so if you do follow me at Evans IP Law on social media, then you'll really see that really being a – owning a law firm is my profession, but I'm still a person. And so I think that having social media and using Periscope and Twitter and tools like that has actually let my clients know that I'm human and basically just added a face to my firm's name. Because to be honest, there are several of my clients that I've never met in person and some that I never will meet probably because they're all over the world. And so what's amazing about it is now I've grown my Twitter following. Now I've, you know, used Periscope as an extension to do live video. But what I love about it is that I've gained a lot of new people that now have access to my firm. But most importantly, they're educated about intellectual property, because what I find is that so many people are not sure of what they have and they don't understand even what intellectual property is. And so, yes, I can be a resource, but my primary goal on social media is not to sell. It's mainly to educate people about what it is. So that's what I do. And unlike a lot of people, I'm not necessarily out here to sell my services. I'm more so out here to educate the masses about intellectual property and getting protected and having entrepreneurs think in a proper way so that they can monetize their intellectual property.
Have you found that there's any sorts of key topics or key areas that have really resonated with people when you break them down for them on social media and educate them about certain things?
Well, you know, that's a good question, but I think you'd really have to ask them, to be honest, because I can't really say what has resonated, but I will say that a lot of people compliment me on those videos and on my social media use, and I do see a lot of lawyers now following me on there and watching me on there. And that's great. But I think what's unique about my business and my model that I have is really that it is me, you know, and I mean that in a good way, because when you are an entrepreneur or when you're a lawyer, period, I think you have to understand that, yes, you work at a law firm, but clients want to work with people that they like and people that they can trust. And so when you're using social media, it's not that you want to copy someone and do the same thing and maybe talk about the same subjects. You want to be genuine and authentic, because if you're passionate about something, your passion really will show. And I think that that is really what I've mastered. But it, to be honest, it's very natural, because truly I'm very passionate about telling others about intellectual property and helping them to protect their intellectual property.
Have you found that through using those platforms, you've also been able to connect and collaborate with other maybe solo practitioners, other attorneys in the field to work together in that regard?
Well, yes. So other attorneys have definitely not necessarily collaborated with me in a sense that we work together on the same projects, but they do refer a lot of clients to my law firm. And, you know, I do the same. So at my firm, I primarily deal only with federal patent, trademark, and copyright matters. And so, of course, when people know that you're out here, a lot of people just say, oh, you're a lawyer. Can you help me with this? And so definitely as part of my Evans IP Law brand, people know that I'm out here, you know, and I practice patent, trademark, and copyright law. And so I try to build my network of other lawyers that, you know, I'd like to, you know, obviously return the favor to them if any of my clients could use their services.
So your passion really shines through to me also in work you do outside of your firm, for example, with organizations like Kidgeneer. Can you describe that foundation and what your work with them is like?
Sure. So I actually founded Kidgeneer because I learned that by the third grade, children lose their interest in math and science. And remember, I told you I grew up around scientists and engineers. I'm actually originally from Houston, Texas. And so at my school, we had a science club and we had a science lab in elementary. And I was able to conduct my science fair projects at the college's science lab. And so naturally, now raising my own family here in Maryland, when my daughter was in kindergarten, I asked her school, where could we sign up for the science club? And they said they didn't have one. And so I saw a need, you know, in the community to form Kidgeneer so that children could have hands-on opportunities and projects and activities that involve science, technology, engineering, and math. So I actually started that program as an after-school project program initially for K through 5. Of course, my daughter was in kindergarten at the time, and I couldn't see past 5th grade. So now she's past 5th grade, so we'll just continue to grow the program until she goes on to college to become an engineer herself. So that is really why I started it. And to be honest, the program just really took off and has exceeded my expectations because as a parent, I mean, we're all out here trying to do the best we can for our children and to prepare them. But when you learn that there are going to be more STEM jobs, so more engineering jobs and science jobs and math jobs, then there will be people to fill those jobs. You know, I felt compelled to make a difference. And so I feel very good about having a program like Kidgeneer to expose children at an early age to science and math.
You were also named in 2014 the White House STEM Diversity and Access Champion of Change. So what did that honor mean to you, and how do you think it's related back to your IP practice?
Oh, wow. I mean, that was such an incredible honor because, you know, as the cliche says, you never really know who's watching or what difference you're making. And so that was a very special honor to be honored with other prestigious leaders in the STEM field. And so what it does or how it relates to my IP practice is, again, people often ask, you know, I juggle and wear many hats, being a wife, a mother, a friend, a sister, an entrepreneur. And I really feel that it's all about doing what you love. And people often say, would you work for free? You know, would you do your job for free if you could? And I will really say I actually love what I do. I love every day that I have different things on my docket related to patents, trademarks, and copyrights. I love that I represent thousands of clients, and I love that I'm helping thousands of children. And so I think that both of them kind of have a bridge just because of the passion that I have for both STEM as well as for intellectual property law.
It's really wonderful. Those initiatives are so great and so unique, and I think it's so important to keep kids interested in those areas.
Definitely.
To wrap up, I'm just going to ask you a series of rapid-fire questions. They're just for fun. You ready?
Sure.
Okay, so what would you be doing if you weren't an attorney?
Ooh, if I wasn't an attorney, you know what? I would probably be a marketing consultant, helping people to market and brand their inventions and ideas and marks and products. I'd be doing marketing.
Okay. And what's your favorite, if you can pick, a social media platform?
Periscope.
And do you have a favorite productivity hack, something you do when you really need to get things done?
Well, you know, I'm using Lexicata. So far that has really helped to streamline my trademark application. So I really like that.
What's the last book you read?
I am in a mother-daughter book club with my daughter in 7th grade, so the mothers have to read the books, too. So we just read The Red Kayak.
Did you like it?
I did like it.
What's your favorite IP conference?
My favorite IP conference is AIPLA.
And what's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
The best piece of advice I've received is, if you can dream it, you can be it.
Great. All right. That's it. Thank you so much for joining us, Andrea. Do you have any parting words of wisdom for the listeners?
Well, my federal trademark is invest in your ideas. So if anyone's sitting on an invention or they have products or they have any written works, let me know if you want to invest in your idea, and the law firm of Andrea Hintz Evans can be a resource. Thank you.
Great. And if anyone is interested in reaching out to you, what's the best way to contact you?
Well, they can find out more information about my firm on our website at evansiplaw.com. Our phone number is 301-497-9997, and our general email address is just info@evansiplaw.com.
Great. Thank you so much, Andrea.
Thank you.
That's this week's episode. Thank you for joining us, and see you next time.